Book 3, The Way of Union. Purified of all serious faults and most of his lesser defects, and having proved his unselfish loyalty to his divine King, Christ's loyal follower now finds himself longing for a still more intimate union with God. In an effort to give himself completely to God, he strives to use every actual grace which the Holy Spirit offers him throughout the day. In due time, God rewards such generosity by raising the soul to the highest spiritual level, the way of union. The man in this stage of spiritual perfection finds his thoughts turning more frequently and more easily to God. He is constantly aware of God's nearness. His predominant desire in all his activities is to give more of himself to God by whatever form of self-sacrifice his daily obligations will permit. In the joy of giving, his selfish interests are abandoned altogether. Under the influence of the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, life takes on a wonderful simplicity. The generous follower of Christ has reached the mountaintop of spiritual perfection. Now he lives not only for God, not only with Him, but in Him. The soul enjoys a supernatural friendship undreamed of by worldly-minded men. Amid life's daily trials and difficulties, Christ's generous follower finds a peace and joy which are a foretaste of heaven. Part 1, Striving for Closer Union. Chapter 1, Union with God. Christ said, "My child, as long as thou art in sanctifying grace, the Holy Trinity dwells within thy soul. As long as thou live free of mortal sin, I am with thee in a supernatural union. The more aware thou become of this union, the more wilt thou be influenced by it in thy daily life. Live an active interior life so that thou may gain the full benefit of this close friendship. Through the various methods of prayer, learn to direct thy mind and heart to me often throughout the day. Thou wilt rise to great perfection in thy daily life if thou can center thy occupations and activities around me. With such an interior life, thou wilt no longer be disturbed by the people around thee, nor by the tasks which face thee, nor by the difficulties and trials which come to thee. This union is the beginning of heavenly peace and joy. Thou wilt know my joy because thou wilt be aware of possessing me. Thou wilt have my peace because thou wilt love my will and follow it throughout the day. Not only wilt thou live thy life for me, but thou wilt live it with me. Thou wilt be aware of my companionship in all that thou do and suffer. Think, as long as I am in sanctifying grace, the Blessed Trinity dwells within my soul. This interior union would affect my daily life much more if I were more aware of it throughout the day. I do not need to interrupt my activities, but I need only develop a habit of prayer. This habit would help my mind turn frequently to God within me. In my spare time, I would seek to perfect my friendship with Him by reading, reflecting, and conversing with Him. My daily burdens would be much lighter because I would be more aware that God shares them with me. Human friendships would become more perfect because I would bring God's grace into them. My way of thinking and living would help my friends come closer to God. Pray. Holy Trinity, my God, you have been pleased to make my soul your dwelling. You came to me in baptism, intending to be my closest companion forever. As long as I do not reject your love by mortal sin, I can live this life of mine in union with you. My loving God, let me be loyal to you, who have been so loyal to me. Teach me to increase and strengthen this heavenly friendship more and more each day. Your love for me is shown by a constant giving. Let me give back some of your numberless gifts by my wise and holy use of them. Throughout the day, let me give you more of my thoughts, more of my desires, more of my pleasures and satisfactions. I hope for the day when this life of mine will be lived in perfect companionship with you, so that I may do all things for the highest reason, to please you. Amen. Chapter 2, Union with God Through Prayer. Christ said, "My child, when people march in a parade, they all keep the same step, the same rhythm, and the same pace. They try to form one single unit with the others. When, however, the parade is over, each person resumes his own way of walking. No two walk quite the same. Due to their bodily structure, figure, athletic development, and other reasons, each person has his own manner of walking. So, too, is it with prayer. In public prayer, all recite the same words, express the same sentiments, and assume the same tone and tempo to form a group prayer. In their private prayers, no two pray quite the same. Each has his own personal touch in dealing with me. For this reason, different methods of prayer have been developed in the history of the church. Some people like to pray with the help of prayer books. Some prefer to think about my words and apply them to their lives. Some prefer to use their imagination, picturing me near and conversing with them. Some like to contemplate the events of my earthly life and imagine themselves as part of those events. There are people who like to pray for sinners, others who like to examine their lives frequently to see where they may please me more, and others who simply like to kneel or sit in my presence and enjoy my nearness. Prayer is the raising of thy thoughts and thy will to me. In prayer thou stand before me with respect, with gratitude, with sorrow, and with desire. Prayer brings respect for my infinite power and goodness, gratitude for my numberless gifts, sorrow for thy sins and for the sins of others, and desire for my mercy, for my assistance, and for my friendship. Some people find it harder than others to attain this spiritual union with me. Different persons use different means to reach me. Some need to think a while. Others need a certain posture of the body. Still others are dependent upon the place of their prayer. And so again, thou see how each finds me in his own way. However, the prayer itself is the same for all. It is a union with me in thought and desire. Whatever one does to reach that stage is only a preliminary to prayer. Think. By being a prayerful man, I will be letting God share in my life. He and I will be living and acting together. I will be supplying the goodwill, and he will supply the strength. In prayer, I unite my mind and will to God. Prayer is a friendly chat with him. At times, it is like a brief look at a friend, a look filled with understanding and love. Prayer is independent of time and place. I can raise my thoughts and desires to God at any time of the day or night, whether I be at play or at work, alone or in a crowd. I can say more to God by just raising my mind to him than I could say to a human friend in an hour. He alone knows me perfectly, knows my slightest wish, feeling, and thought. God loves me so much that he actually wants to hear me talk to him. He is truly pleased with my attempts to converse with him. His answer comes to me in the form of a holy thought, desire, or resolution. Others may tire of hearing me talk, but God loves me so much that he could listen to me forever. The more I chat with God, the better I come to know him. The better I know him, the more I will love him in my daily life. Pray. O Holy Ghost, my God, you who bring heavenly light to my soul many times each day, have watched me go along hour after hour, showing so few signs of gratitude, love, sorrow for sin, and so little respect for you. To you I owe all that I am and have. I must pray. Without prayer, I cut myself off from you. Without prayer, I become less a man. Prayer makes me a better and greater man because it draws me to you and you to me. Through prayer you will teach me many things which I will not learn from books. By prayer I can draw down upon myself and others many blessings and heavenly help for our daily labors and difficulties. In spite of all my limitations, prayer is the one thing which I can always do and do well. All I need is to tell you whatever's on my mind. I need no introduction to you. I can talk to you as an old friend, the only friend who understands me perfectly. Lord, help me to pray often this day, be it but a few passing words from time to time. Amen. Chapter 3, Intimacy with God. Christ said, "My child, learn to converse with me as a child talks with its mother. Let there be no barriers between thee and me. Why should thou find it easier to talk to human beings than to me? I know thee better than anyone else. Nowhere will thou find the understanding, sympathy, and appreciation which I have. Nobody else is as interested in thee as I am. I love thee infinitely more than anyone else does. Thou art never alone. I am always with thee, ready to share thy burdens and solve thy problems. I walk with thee at every step. No human being is capable of giving thee the perfect friendship which I offer thee. I know thee far better than thou know thyself. Do not treat me as a stranger. Come to me without fear or anxiety. Have confidence in my love and mercy. I prefer to call thee friend rather than servant. Think, if all my friends deserted me at this moment, I would still have the friend who counts most, my God and Savior. If my own dear ones on earth became too occupied with their own affairs to give me any attention, I would still get perfect attention from God, my loving Father. Human beings can give me part of their affections and attention, but all the human affection and attention on earth cannot compare with God's attention and love for me. At every moment of my life, God is closer to me than anyone else could ever be. I live in the palm of His hand, always present to Him and dependent on Him for my every breath. When I am asleep or preoccupied with cares or pleasures, when my thoughts are far from myself, even then God is thinking of me, interested in me, and keeping me alive. Truly, if I knew how near God is to me at every step, I would live a more peaceful and happy life. Pray, my God and Father, you want me to be a true child of yours. You wish me to prove my love for you as you have proved your love for me, that is, by my daily actions. My Jesus, you have called me friend. Your friends are those who strive to please you in their daily lives. I can never do as much as you deserve of me, but at least I will try to do as much as I can to please you. Frequently throughout the day, I will pause to cast an interior glance at you. You love me more than I could ever love myself. You are my closest companion in my daily journey toward heaven. Amen. Chapter 4, Removing Obstacles. Christ said, "My child, strive to love me so much that in all thy activities thy main desire will be to please me. Never let any person or thing diminish thy self-control. If I am to be thy main interest and thy highest desire, thou must abandon any created thing which attracts thee too strongly, that is, anything for which thee might sin. When thou have arrived at this purity of soul, thou will have abandoned the world, even though thou must continue to live in it. Thy thoughts and desires will no longer be influenced by the foolish interests, selfish ambitions, and wrong standards of worldly people. As they strive for worldly satisfactions and selfish goals, so wilt thou strive to prove a full love and loyalty to me, the eternal joy and perfect goal. Thou insult me if thou make me compete with any created being for thy attention and love. All things are the work of my hand. They are a feeble reflection of my boundless goodness and beauty. No man is worthy of me until he has learned to live an intelligent life, placing first things first. I must be the first and highest desire of thy soul, because I am the all-perfect fountain of all goodness. Any other way of living is false and unworthy of me. To achieve this glorious victory over thy foolish and blind self-interest is a great grace. Many people believe that they already possess this grace, but their daily life proves that they lack it in many things. One who reaches the fullness of this spiritual level becomes free of all fully deliberate sins. Strive to reach this high perfection. Then thou wilt think clearly and act intelligently in all matters. Though thou wilt never be free of all venial sins of weakness in this life, thou must never cease trying to be free of all unreasonable attachments to created things. As often as thou art not striving for this perfection, thou wilt not be taking full advantage of my grace. Think. Saint Ignatius says that we must pray as though the matter we desire depended entirely upon God, and we must work as though it depended entirely upon us. This is the sound principle to follow, because God always blesses goodwill, and goodwill is always proved by effort. My goal must be to achieve in fact what I admit in theory, that is, to prefer God to all created things, so that if I had to choose, I would be ready to abandon all for his sake. I must not be content with eliminating mortal sins from my life. I am not to be satisfied even when I have eliminated the deliberate venial sins over which I have full control. I must strive to prefer God above all else by a positive mortification and a desire to decrease even my legitimate needs. Only then will my quest for God's full friendship on earth be sincere. Pray. All perfect joy of my soul, all satisfying goal of my life, when shall I cease to let created things distract me from you? Nothing can begin to compare with you. Why then do I not see things for what they are? Grant me that freedom of soul which will help me conquer all unreasonable attractions on earth. No other degree of love is worthy of you. Since my love for you will never be full until I have reached this high spiritual perfection, let me at least strive for it in my daily life. When my cowardly human nature shrinks from this goal, help me cry out in the wonderful prayer of Saint Ignatius, "Dearest Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not ask for reward, save that of knowing that I am doing your will." Amen. Chapter 5. An Important Choice. Christ said, "My child, people are frequently faced with choices in their earthly life. Choices, big or small, important or unimportant, are being made every day by everyone. When one chooses one thing, he usually gives up something else. He who chooses to study law is turning his back on other professions which he might have chosen. Thou cannot have everything which thou desire. At times thou will have to choose some things in preference to others. The same is also true in the supernatural life. Some things draw thee away from me. If thou choose to save thy soul, thou must turn away from these things. One who is interested only in avoiding hell will tolerate many a deliberate venial sin in his daily life. He will not make too much effort to eliminate these sins, because he does not choose to bear the inconvenience which such an effort would involve. He wishes to enjoy his earthly life as far as he can without endangering his eternal salvation. Then again, some people choose to aim at a higher perfection. They seek to come closer to me by a serious effort to eliminate venial sins from their life as far as they're able. They turn away from little pleasures and satisfactions which make them less pleasing to me. Lastly, there are those who want to make me their highest goal every moment of the day. They strive to do all things without considering their own convenience or inconvenience. They try to do the better thing, as often as this does not hurt their daily tasks or interfere with their daily obligations. This last group are choosing me by turning away from every earthly satisfaction. They still take the food, rest, and recreation which they need, but they now do so for a new and higher reason. Before, they did so for the legitimate pleasure and enjoyment which they received from these things. Now, however, they take these things from a sense of duty to me, because I want them to do whatever is necessary for a good day's work. These are the men who have succeeded in choosing me in preference to all things. They are not content with giving me glory in their life, but they seek to give me the highest degree of glory possible. He who seeks me thus completely finds my perfect peace, my firm and lasting happiness, and his own highest perfection. I am more than any earthly accomplishment, more than any human praise, more than any worldly satisfaction. Only cowardice or misguided self-interest can make the aim lower than this high perfection. According as thou limit thy love for me, will thou have self-deception, spiritual poverty, and discontent. The less thou seek my love and friendship, the more do thou harm thyself. Thou thyself will be limiting my generosity with thee, because thou wilt not use all of the wonderful graces which I desire to give thee. Think. No man can enjoy all the good things on earth. He has to choose some things in preference to others. I have the glorious privilege of making the greatest choice possible to man. I can prefer the close companionship of Jesus to many other good but imperfect friendships. Every other achievement and success has its day and passes away, but the friendship of Jesus will endure forever. Not even death can dissolve it. How much more do I really appreciate this priceless treasure? My answer lies in what I am willing to abandon for it. How great a price am I willing to pay for it? Pray. O Jesus, King and treasure of my soul, show me how I can make this highest of all choices in my daily life. Give me the good sense to avoid all foolish extremes and impractical judgments in following you. Let me not follow my own ideas in this quest for perfection. Make me humble enough to follow directions, unselfish enough to keep trying, and generous enough to abandon my own petty satisfactions. Without pretense and without seeking to be noticed, let me offer you as many of my natural pleasures and satisfaction as I am able. With balanced judgment and good taste, help me prefer your company to all other company whenever I may do so. In all this, however, let me never neglect my duties, impede my ability to do your work, or offend against true charity. Amen. Chapter 6. Coming Closer. Christ said, "My child, when I am present to thee, all is well, and nothing seems too difficult. When I speak to thee, thou need no human consolations. When I am silent, no human words can console thee. Seek to realize how truly I am thy all. Whatever helps thee in this life is only an instrument of mine. It is a great accomplishment to know how to speak with me. My conversation is with the humble and the simple. I speak to those who do not have a false idea of their own importance. My message is easily understood by those who do not complicate their lives with too many interests and useless activities. Show me a true purity of soul. Refuse to depend too much on worldly consolation, and do not look over anxiously for earthly remedies. In using natural remedies, thou must still see my hand leading thee on. Thou please me very much when thou put thy confidence in my understanding, interest, power, and love. When thou have learned to concentrate on me, no achievement or occupation will distract thee too much for me. Thou wilt refuse to let thy desires become too strong, no matter how good they may be. At all times thou wilt be ready to give up whatever thou art doing if I so wish. In all things thou wilt aim at nothing and desire nothing except my will. As far as thou can control thy earthly interests, only so far can thou be united with me. As freedom from worldly desires brings thee my peace, so does freedom from worldly self-seeking bring thee closer to my heart. Think. No matter how good a work it may be, I must not desire it so strongly that I lose my peace of soul. No matter how hard I may work on something, I should not become over-eager for success. God will bring success in His own way and in His own good time. My human nature is always looking for self-satisfaction. I can guard myself against all unreasonable self-love by abandoning myself to God's divine providence in all my undertakings. By accepting the results of His holy will, I shall be giving Him the kind of glory which He desires of me. I shall eliminate all self-deception and shall attain true purity of heart. God will find no obstacles in me, and He will draw me into a lasting friendship with Him. Pray. My Jesus, true center of my life, let my attention be so fixed on You that I may be aware of You in everything I do. I will never separate myself from You by undue anxiety or over-eagerness for success. In the good works which I perform, I want You to take charge. I desire to surrender myself entirely to You in all my occupations. No longer shall my will lead me on, but Yours. I shall always strive to make my best efforts. The results are Yours to decide. My greatest joy from now on will be to work for love of You. Amen. Part 2. Union through the Holy Eucharist. Chapter 7. Christ's Loving Invitation. Christ said, My child, come to me when thou labor and are burdened, and I shall refresh thee. There are many ways of coming to me in thy earthly life. Thou can approach me in prayer, meditation, reading, reflecting, in the confessional, and in the various sacraments. The most excellent way of coming to me, however, is Holy Communion. I invite thee to receive this heavenly privilege so that I may give myself to thee in a very special way. In Holy Communion, thou receive me in person. I do not merely come near thee, but into thy very soul. I make myself as food for thy soul, and grant thee a greater share in my life. I give thee greater strength to live my way. The bread which I give thee in Holy Communion is my flesh. Take it and eat. This is my body, which was delivered for thee. He that eats my body and drinks my blood shall dwell within me as I dwell within him. During those precious moments we are together in a special kind of union, unknown to worldly men. These are my words, though I did not speak them all at one time, nor in one place. The words which I speak are the words of eternal life. Meditate on them often. Thou wilt find life, wisdom, and peace in them. Thou wilt never exhaust their richness. Think. When Jesus first began to tell his followers about Holy Communion, some of them objected. When they heard that they were to eat his body and drink his blood, a number of them left him. Jesus sadly looked on as they walked away from him, but he did not restrain them nor call them back. If he had meant those words in some symbolic or figurative way, surely he would not have permitted those loved ones to leave him. He would have kept them with him by simply explaining his words. But no, he did not give any explanation because he meant those words literally. He was really going to offer them, and to me, his body and blood, which in some mysterious way were to act upon our souls as food and drink act upon the body. All the other sacraments are signs of grace which God grants through them. Holy Communion, however, is more than a sign of grace. It is the living body and blood of Jesus. In a word, in Holy Communion, Jesus comes to me in person. Pray. My God and my Savior, of all the wonderful gifts which you have bestowed upon men in this earthly life, none can begin to compare with that wonderful gift of the Holy Eucharist. Under the appearances of bread and wine, you come to me in person, with your body, blood, soul, and divinity. Your love for me is so deep that you could offer me nothing less than yourself. This you did, in a manner which reminds me of your death upon the cross for my sake. In the appearance of bread and wine, I see you ready to be consumed in order to give me eternal life. This holy sacrament is truly the most perfect image of your boundless love for me. Lord, let me make full use of this divine gift, so that I may learn to give myself to you in my daily life. Amen. Chapter 8. Effects of Frequent Communion. Christ said, "My child, I offer many special graces to those who receive me often and devoutly in Holy Communion. Those who take advantage of these graces make rapid strides toward Christian perfection. I draw them closer to myself throughout the day. I make their minds more alert to occasions of sin, more awake to opportunities for virtue, and more aware of my nearness throughout the day. I teach them to think more often of me and less often of themselves. They gradually learn to judge matters my way rather than to follow their own natural preferences and prejudices. Though many at first seek their own advantage in pleasing me, as they progress they forget their own advantage and think only of pleasing me. They eventually find so much joy in my company that they are content to be without human company as often as their daily obligations will permit. Their greatest consolation and happiness is to have my friendship and to offer me whatever they do throughout the day. Their prayer becomes more perfect because it loses much of the natural strain and effort which came from earthly distractions and worldly interests. Think, frequent communion, well prepared for and well made, brings me my most perfect union with Jesus in this earthly life. During these precious moments, he works wonders within my soul. I must go forth determined to make full use of Christ's graces throughout the day. He will teach me how to go about my daily occupations without losing interior contact with Him. Then shall I reach the wonderful heights of holiness which Jesus has prepared for His true, loyal followers. Pray, my sacramental King, Holy Lamb of God, unworthy though I am of your attention and love, I cannot turn away from this heavenly privilege of Holy Communion. It is your wish that I enjoy it. In it, you bestow on me the highest dignity possible to man or angel. As I kneel there, joined to you, I wield my greatest power and exert my greatest influence before the throne of God. Though this sacramental union lasts only a matter of minutes, grant that its influence may be with me throughout the entire day. Let my mind think as yours, and let my will choose as you chose in your own earthly life. I desire to live my daily life as though I were sacramentally joined with you all day. Grant that I may place no obstacles to the wonderful graces which you offer to me in Holy Communion. I shall do my best to avoid all unnecessary distractions. I shall try to fulfill my daily tasks as well as I am honestly able. Finally, I desire to please you more by doing whatever extra good I can do today. Amen. Chapter 9. Tepidity toward Holy Communion. Christ said, "My child, a number of people travel back and forth to visit the remains of my saints. With admiration and interest, they view the magnificent buildings erected in honor of the saints, and they kiss their sacred bones, which are held in gold and silver. My saints deserve all of this honor and more. Too often, however, people are drawn to these relics and holy places by curiosity or some form of self-interest, rather than by contrition for sin and a desire to draw closer to me. The highest honor which thou can pay the saints is to imitate their virtues in thy daily life. Here upon the altar thou wilt find not a relic, nor a monument to someone's memory, but me, alive as ever, all-powerful, all-loving, all-perfect. All the treasures and wonders of this world, whatever can attract the human heart, these things are nothing compared to what thou find upon the altar. Thou wilt not be drawn to me by any curiosity or shallow virtue. Only a firm faith, a steady hope, and a burning love will draw thee to me and keep thee loyal to me. Consider how great must be the tepidity and negligence of this world, since so many fail to take advantage of my gift of Holy Communion. It is sad to see how few are drawn to me with tender affection and wordless gratitude. In this sacrament I offer myself, in whom lie all human hopes and merits for salvation. Think, I should never cease to express my sorrow for the neglect and coldness which is shown to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. How great must be his love for us, since he does not become disgusted with so much ingratitude. People go to such trouble to see various objects of beauty, curiosity, or entertainment, yet here upon the altar is the grandest, greatest, most magnificent of all beings. How dull can the human mind be? How hard can the human heart become? This is our all-loving Savior, our God. In him we live and move and exist. Truly, without him we are nothing. In him alone shall I find perfect peace and all-satisfying happiness. Pray. My Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, how can I ever express the sympathy and sorrow which should be expressed for the unbelievable foolishness with which we show our daily neglect of you? The church is so crowded on Sunday with men and women who are ready to do what they must do to save their souls. But on weekdays, the same church has but a handful of people who rise a little earlier to come and kneel at your feet. Others will rise earlier for a number of other reasons, but for an extra half hour with you, they will not do so. You offer us so much in the Mass and in Holy Communion, yet we do so little to deserve your generosity and love. Lord, place my heart in yours for a moment and inflame it with the fire of your love. Let me grow in appreciation of Holy Communion so that I may come to you more often. You desire to come to me that you may grant me more graces and blessings. In Holy Communion, the privilege is all mine. I shall never forget this again. Amen. Chapter 10. Preparing for Holy Communion. Christ said, "My child, in order to gain as many blessings as possible from Holy Communion, make a careful preparation for this glorious gift. Brighten thy soul with holy thoughts, thoughts on what I said or did in my earthly life, or what my loyal followers said about me. Raise thy will upwards with holy desires, desires to please me more in thy daily life by avoiding this fault or practicing that virtue. Such efforts open thy mind to greater light and dispose thy will to greater generosity. When I find these dispositions in thee, I bestow greater graces on thee than I would otherwise have granted. I never miss a chance to draw thee higher in holiness and perfection. Each communion holds unlimited opportunity for thy soul. The limits are set by thy degree of interest and eagerness to follow me wherever I invite thee. Think, one communion well made can make me a saint, yet after so many communions I'm still very far from sanctity. This shows me that I have not taken advantage of God's great gifts. I ought to use prayer books if they help improve my prayer. I should use whatever can help me make a better preparation for Holy Communion. In this way, I shall not regret my carelessness later on. The more I prepare myself for Jesus, the more shall I profit by his visit to me. Pray. Lord, the more important an occasion, the more carefully do people prepare for it. No event in my earthly life is more important than receiving you in Holy Communion. Let me approach you often, but let me never fail to do my best to prepare for this heavenly privilege. I may not always have as much time, energy, or mental alertness as I would like to have for you, but at least I can do what little is possible under the circumstances. I sincerely wish to avoid the dullness of routine or laziness. I shall always use whatever means I have to help me receive you humbly, reverently, and lovingly. Amen. Chapter 11, A Diligent Preparation. Christ said, "My child, let me show thee the best preparation for Holy Communion. Do not act mechanically, saying the words, but thinking of other things. Do not act with fear, as though I were coming to find fault with thee. I come to thee because I want to come, because I love thee, and because thou need me. If I do not come to thee, thou wilt not enter into eternal life. Let thy preparation be an intelligent consideration of what thou art about to do. Meditate on thy daily life, how it could be better for my sake. When thou tell me that thou art unworthy of me, think of the different faults by which thou fail me, and resolve to do something about them at once. With me, love means action, definite action where it is needed. Make thy love for me a love of action, and thou wilt be best prepared for Holy Communion. There are no words to describe the privilege which I grant thee in Holy Communion. Avoid routine. Never become so accustomed to receiving me that thou lose thy appreciation of this privilege. Try to make every reception a grand occasion. Do it by putting variety into thy preparation and thanksgiving. Do not always say the same prayers, nor always follow the same method. One day, meditate on my words or thy daily life. On another day, say vocal prayers or read prayer books. At another time, sing hymns within thy mind. Use variety, and thou wilt never fall into the dull rut of routine. Do not let the thought of thy unworthiness hold thee back from Holy Communion. Think only of this, that I want thee to receive me because thou need me. For this reason I command thee to come to me. If it were strictly a matter of worthiness, no one could ever receive me." Think, my daily life should be a continual preparation for Holy Communion. I ought to be ready for Jesus any morning in the week. It will be so if my loyalty to him is firm throughout my daily activities. In spite of the aggravations which come along, I can keep a reasonable amount of clear thinking and self-control. To help me achieve this, I can make use of religious articles, holy pictures, and pious habits. At various times during the day, I ought to take a quick glance over my activities in order to see where I have failed or where I may improve. Never should I come within distance of any church without making a visit, be it ever so brief. As far as my duties will permit, I must try to make contact with our Lord every so often, praising him, thanking him, expressing sorrow for my sins, and asking for the spiritual and material assistance which I need. If I really try to make my daily life a preparation and a thanksgiving for Holy Communion, this holy sacrament will work miracles within me. Pray. My Jesus, unappreciated and unloved by so many, let me give you some small part of the honor and love which you deserve in the Blessed Sacrament. Frequently throughout the day, I shall express my desire to receive you. I want to show you my gratitude for this divine gift. I wish to lay my needs before you, together with the spiritual and material needs of others. I long to express my sorrow for my sins and the sins of the world. Never again will I receive you through dull, thoughtless habit. Each reception will be an intelligent and loving approach to you, my God and Savior. Though I cannot prepare as you deserve, I shall at least do my best to receive you more worthily. Amen. Please go to the next tape.